Hello and welcome to this special podcast presented by CNBCTV18.com and WazirX. Cryptocurrencies have been through a roller coaster ride ever since March 2020. Between March 2020 and November 2021, two of the biggest cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and Ether, saw a rally of over 1,100 and 3,600% respectively, and hundreds of new projects were introduced during this period. The total market capitalization of the cryptocurrency space went from under $150 billion in March 2020 to over $3 trillion last year. However, worries about increasing inflation and a possible recession have spooked the cryptocurrency markets and global stock markets alike. As a result, cryptocurrencies are now in a bear market. This is very similar to the dot-com bubble. But over time, the best technology companies not only survived, but thrived. Anyone who would have stuck to the right projects and companies and stayed disciplined with their investment strategy would have been rewarded. Let us then understand what this means for crypto markets. And to deliberate further on this, I have with me Prashant Swaminathan. He's partner and head of institutional business at Woodstock Fund. And joining us also is Shubham Kejriwal. He's OTC desk executive, WazirX. Gentlemen, hi, thank you so much for joining us. And Shubham, this one is to you. I mean, before the pandemic, crypto assets showed little to no correlation with conventional investments like equities and other asset classes. But now we seem to be looking at these markets aligned in some sense. What's your sense? Are crypto no longer a diversification? How do you see cryptos being a part of the overall financial system?
Sure, Manisha. Firstly, thank you so much for having me in the show and very well summarized introduction on the markets in general. So on the correlation aspect, like you said, the crypto market cap was close to $150 billion back in March 2020, but just before the pandemic. And on its peak in November 21, it had surged around 16 to 20 times to reach $3 trillion market cap. So back then, the market cap was not a big chunk of the cake of the financial markets, but the adoption grew like rapidly after the COVID. There was a Bitcoin halving that happened in the early 2020. So all these aspects actually helped the crypto ecosystem to just make their mark into the center of the financial markets. When we think about financial markets, we think about the largest stocks. We talk about SEC, we talk about central banks. And if you see all of these companies combined, plus the regulatory bodies, all are talking about virtual digital assets and how to regulate them, how to make way for this new technology into the financial market. So all these things have added to the correlation compared to the conventional, like what was back in 2020, where it was just open to developers and tech enthusiasts. So that has changed a lot.
Clearly. Prashant, what's your sense? And this is how do we see the markets now panning out from here on? Are you also of the view that the volatility spillovers between crypto and global equity markets will coexist?
You know, the overall ecosystem now is significantly different to how it was pre-pandemic, and also if you consider the end of the last cycle to the end of this cycle. We have seen a lot more entrants into this space across users, developers, startups, investors, family offices, etc. Right. So it has, I would say, through this last cycle, it has had a paradigm shift, and therefore now we are in a state where it is firmly here to stay and can only get improving. Now, as it gets bigger and bigger, I guess, and as institutions enter this more and more, the correlation of this asset class with other risk assets, like your equities, especially the tech stocks, will also be high, right? Because it is then looked at in terms of from a lens of diversification, from a lens of allocation, etc. So that part of it, I think, stays. But the good part here is that it is generating a buzz. It has generated a buzz through this last cycle and is being talked about a lot more vocally as something that is here to stay.
You know, Prashant, as we look at the markets, there always is enthusiasm when it's a bull market. When the markets are going up, people are counting more money, more percentage gains there. But when you are into a bear market, it leads to a lot of insecurity. And that clearly is the case more so with crypto, because it's a newer market. There's just so much skepticism around with this one. And the kind of decline that we've seen in crypto clearly seems to have hit various pain points. How would you compare crypto vis-a-vis other asset classes in these bull and bear phases?
Yeah, I mean, tell me about it, right? I mean, the frenzy is as volatile as the price in our digital asset space. To me, price is, and also the volatility is just, one small feature of something that is a big revolution that is happening under the hood. So I and the fund also tend to focus less on the price and more at the price, right? That is the view I take on this as well. And bull market, bear market, etc., these things keep happening. The frenzy is also exciting at times and also dreadful at others, but it's just part and parcel of the market as such. What excites me massively here is that we see a lot more convergence now between our traditional markets and also our crypto and digital asset markets. And we see the inflow of developers and startups and capital. Even though it is kind of subsided now at this point, it is still there, right? And that is what is the most exciting feature to me about where we are in this cycle.
Shubham, how do you look at this market? And I'm sure that there's way more hand-holding happening right now because, one, the markets are new. Two, people were just about reading about it, investing into it. When you look at a bear phase like this, how do you think one can spread out risk and hedge against these fluctuations?
Sure. So I think both phases of the market has its own pros and cons. In the bull market, you definitely mint money. But the bear market is the time where you actually find golds and diamonds in this vast industry where you have more than 10,000 plus projects and a new project getting listed every day on smaller exchanges. So it's very difficult to take some time out, understand what the project is building, because this is a new generation of technology. And everything that you have seen in the traditional tech space will be reimagined and rebuilt in the blockchain ecosystem. So right now, the conversion rates have definitely increased because people are getting a fair pricing when you talk about valuations. And people are actually have high hopes because this has been the talk of the town of late. Plus, volatility, like Prashant mentioned, should always be looked at as a feature of crypto because the industry is in an initial state. So volatility can be also used to monetize as a feature because there are a lot of fund offices and family funds who are building their own strategies because crypto markets run 24/7. Like there is no shutting down. And with a very basic volatility trading strategy, you can just, the bot can automatically place orders at different intervals and you can mint money through that as well. And when it comes to diversification and risk management, I think it gets very important, like how much wealth you are going to invest into your crypto assets, because this is still a very new industry and you should do your own due diligence and have your own investment horizon before you step your foot into the market. And once you are into the crypto market, again, a diversification is important because you cannot just put all the money into a currency. You have to look for DeFi projects, NFT projects, and metaverse projects. So there is a whole different ball game inside it. So I think the markets are, it's the correct time to enter the market. And this is the time when you will see more gem crypto firms coming into the limelight and like thriving out of nowhere. So.
Oh, well, absolutely, Shubham. And, I mean, as you mentioned, it's a 24-hour market and the kind of volatility that we've seen into this space, would you say brings in even more importance of discipline here? And that brings in about the fact that SIP perhaps is the way to get in with the kind of ups and downs that we see to the market. The sheer fact being that you can't monitor the market all the time. So diversifying it in a very disciplined approach.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned about SIPs. So in traditional space, SIP has been challenging because there is an entry barrier. A stock is listed at a certain price and you cannot create a direct SIP through that stock. You have to reach out to mutual funds, which have some direct or indirect commissions and brokerages. There is a fund management fees. But crypto in nature is divisible to the maximum decimals, right? You can even buy 100 rupees worth of Bitcoin. You can go and invest. So you don't have to rely on managed funds or something. You can create your own funds. You can have your own strategy in place with 12 different assets, having different proportions, different diversifications, different investment timelines as per your convenience. And Like I mentioned previously, there are automated trading bots that help you to accumulate crypto at different pricings as well. So the evolution of tech has actually the biggest change which I can see is the way people invest their money in. So in traditional markets, you always had these middlemen like clearing houses, depositories, but with crypto, everything is on chain. And with tech, you SIPs have become more easy, more simpler, and more it gives more control to the investors and more power to the investors. They can have their own understanding and own strategies in place.
And with the cryptocurrencies having corrected so much, I'm assuming there would be a lot of people who would want to perhaps get into this market now. So, Prashant, for these kind of people, what would you say are the best strategies to, start indulging, start investing, creating these kind of SIPs?
Right, and accumulation has always been the key. You have to keep on accumulating at the right times.
Yeah. Sorry. If I may add, see, in investing in digital assets is to an extent not much different from how you look at traditional investments, right? It's probably three main pillars. Number one is diversification. Given this is high risk, high reward, you can look at digital assets as being part of your alternate asset portfolio, which typically makes up around 10 to 20% of any investment portfolio, right? That's like the golden rule of thumb. So out of the 10 to 20% of your investment portfolio, you can consider digital asset as a subset of that, right? Now, once you have figured out how much therefore you want to invest into this space, then the second part then is how do you go about identifying the names or the tokens, et cetera, that you want to invest into, right? And this is where I think an SIP can play a critical role. Because you can not try to time the market. Instead, you can just have a strategy to get in on a weekly basis or a monthly basis into a select few tokens or coins that you believe in, right? And this gives you a good dollar cost averaging over a period of time as well. The third part of this entire strategy, which is probably the most important that people are noticing in the last couple of months, is that discipline, right? Keep taking profits from time to time and have a very disciplined approach towards adding up or even exiting some of your positions, right? So and these three pillars are no different to how anyone would invest in traditional markets as well. Just that given the volatility, there needs to be a lot more discipline. And SIPs, in my opinion, are a great way to get passive exposure to this space without getting too hung up on timing the market.
Okay. When you look at these markets and coming back to the fundamentals yet again, Prashant, we have seen cryptos align themselves with the economic cycles. How do you look at the participation? Because it's the first time ever that we have seen such a huge correction with the kind of volumes coming in, whether it's investors, institution, or retail for that matter. And the interest in cryptocurrencies has been at its highest level, perhaps. How does the road ahead also look at to you like this, that we would perhaps continue to see that pattern going forward?
From a macro standpoint, at this stage, I would say there is an element of fear in the market, especially with growth assets, and I would consider crypto as a growth asset as well. The big unknown is how do these assets perform in a rising rate environment? Because ever since 2009, when Bitcoin was created, we have been at zero, close to zero rates globally, right? So first time that we are facing a rising rate environment. So that's a big unknown. Keeping that aside, I would say fundamentally, with respect to Web3 and its growth trajectory, we are in the right territory as we need to be, right? And anyone who is looking at this from a long-term standpoint is pretty much focusing on the fundamentals. And from that standpoint, as and when the market turns and the Fed starts giving indication on easing a bit of the tightening that they're doing right now, capital will start flowing again. There is immense amount of dry powder on the sidelines right now, right? So that will start flowing in, and as it starts flowing in, I'm extremely sure that a good portion of that will start flowing into digital assets and Web3 in general. Because of the fundamentals of what this is trying to solve for in the long term.
Well, on one side, it clearly is about the economic cycles. And the second aspect of this is the government interest in regulating the sector. Shubham, what's your sense on that? I mean, we've seen that as much as in India, in other countries as well, the governments are taking a keen interest. There is some sense of the fact that there should be some regulation onto this asset class. How are we looking at that factor impacting crypto prices?
I think that has been the biggest victory coming from a situation where countries were outrightly banning cryptos and Bitcoin transactions. Now they are at least stepping into a zone where they are doing their own research, reading about blockchain, understanding the advantages, and trying to regulate the sector. So I think this is the building phase, the constructing phase, where the regulators will come with the middle ground where both a sovereign and a decentralized ecosystem can coexist. But coming to the economic cycles, I think crypto assets have synced in with the economic cycles as well, because whenever the big companies, the S&P takes a dump, the crypto ecosystem also tends to behave in a similar direction. So for the time being, the sync up, I believe, is because two cycles, like Bitcoin has its own cycle, which is linked to the Bitcoin halving, which happens every 4 years, at least for the past 8 years, it has been happening. And the economic cycle, which is somewhere between 8 to 10 years, and it happens to coincide this time, and that might be one of the reasons that the cycles are so much synced up. Plus, the entire discussion about the crypto ecosystem has been in the center. Like all the bigger tech, financial giants, be it Goldman, be it JP Morgan, has been talking about crypto. They have been diversifying their asset classes into crypto, so that always adds to the correlation. So I believe the economic cycle sync up will continue to exist, and it will just be on to adaption, like how adaption happens with all these big market players. You can think of it as how tech stocks increase the correlation with the overall market. Same thing should happen with blockchain. The more and more the companies get exposed themselves to the new technology, the more correlation will increase with equity, traditional financial market, general economic cycle to the crypto ecosystem.
Fair point. You know, I want to come back and talk to you yet again from the perspective of investors. And this is a final round of questions to both of you. So if people were investing right now, Prashant, you answer this first. Do you believe that in the coming 5 or 10 years, despite the technology disruption, the fundamentals, the regulatory pace, et cetera, how would you look at the time panning out? Is this a good time to invest? How should one approach this market? And what are the things to watch out for?
Starting off by saying this is not financial advice, I would say at this point, we foresee that the market will be fairly sideways for the next couple of quarters. A lot of noise will dissipate away. This is the first step, probably, to me, is for investors to start educating themselves more about what Web3 is trying to achieve and how does the stack, evolve over a period of time. And this is important so people don't invest into hype-based tokens or names in this space, but rather have a much more fundamental view on where it's progressing and then take a view from that standpoint, right? Over a 5 to 10 year period, I am extremely sure that this space will continue to outperform most of the other asset classes. And therefore, people should start educating themselves and then start taking, smaller, like I mentioned, the three pillars. Go about looking at this space in that three pillar fashion. And the way you invest is start up with, the blue chips to begin with, get more familiar, and then go down the stack as you need into more mid caps and small caps of this space. You can also consider passively investing in this by participating in funds that also invest into startups, etc., that are working in this space, right? So depending on how active or passive you want to be and what your appetite is, I guess there are multiple options out there. But learning to educate yourself here and getting in with conviction is very important, in my opinion.
All right, so that is some sane advice coming in from Shubham and Prashant, telling us that it is always about disciplined investing. SIPs perhaps is the best way to go forward. And because the cryptocurrencies also are aligning to economic cycles, it just makes it further more credible. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for joining us with your time today. Thanks for listening.